sing it all the way around. I bless the Lord for how good he's been, and certainly we're looking forward to that great and wonderful day when the Lord shall return. I hope you know him in the free pardon of sin. If not, today could be the day. Today's the day. Now's the accepted time. And so I hope that you'll take your Bible now to the book of Matthew in chapter number 21, Matthew 21. And you find the place and you're able to stand, we'll look in verse number 13. In Matthew chapter 21, well, let's back up to verse number 12. And Jesus went into the temple of God, and he cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called a house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. Father, bless your word to every heart. We do thank you for it. How good it is to be once again back here in the house of God. We praise you and thank you, thou art God from everlasting to everlasting. And beside thee, there is none else. Move upon us within us. Save the lost. Lift up the downhearted. Set the captives free in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you and be seated. I want to preach a little while a sermon entitled, Look What Man Has Done to the House of God. And did you notice that whenever you read that, he said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called a house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. In other words, a God is building something holy. He's building a bride for his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said that he had to the church daily such as should be saved. And let me tell you something, she'll be arrayed in white and she'll be holy and have holy garments. But man got in on it and decided he wanted to help God out and build something a little quicker. So they turned it into a religious business. Did you know that the Bible said the love of money is the root of all evil? You show me evil that rises, I show you money when you trace it down to the roots. That's right. In fact is, if you're not careful, I guarantee you right now is, it'll be a monetary thing that will draw you out of church more than any one thing. Make no mistake about it. It's just hard to say no to the world and the flesh and the devil if there's enough money involved. In the lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you that whatever man touches, he pollutes it. Do you realize, though, that over there in the book of Exodus, don't turn there, but in chapter number 20, about verse number 25, he said, if you build me an altar, he said, of stone, don't you put a tool upon it, for if you do, thou hast polluted it, something to that effect. Did you realize that, the reason there's so much pollution in the church of the living God is because that man got in on it? Man put his hands to it. Man came up with some ideology. If I could get them down the aisle a little bit more numerous and in quality. In the lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you, when Jesus saves a soul, the Bible said the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. But see, what man does is, when man tries to add to the church instead of letting God, then man pollutes him. Notice, if you will, please, is that man made the house of God a den of thieves. It's not just one or two thieves and stealers and robbers, but there's a whole den of them, and they feel safe and secure sitting right here. In this lesson that you're looking at, let me tell you something right now. You'll find is, if you've noticed that a thief, he's like a robber, he's a stealer. And let me tell you what he wants to do is he wants to steal your soul. And not only that, he wants to steal your family. So over there, don't turn there, but in Isaiah 56, you can see it in about verse number 7, when he talked about the house of God, and he talked about these thieves, and talked about these that are stealing and robbing. Jeremiah 7 and verse 11, he said, has my house become that kind of thing to you, thieves and robbers that you allow? In other words, God said, why are you allowing and soliciting and getting this kind of junk in the house of God for? In the lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you, don't lose your text. But look, if you will, please, in the book of Mark, chapter number 11. Mark chapter 11, and about verse number 17. And we'll be seeing a passage there concerning the same thing, except there's an addition to it in chapter 11 of the book of Mark, and in verse number 17. All right, and then he says in the passage, and he taught, saying unto them, Is it not written, My house shall be called of all nations? Look at this. All nations know what the house of God ought to be. all nations, not just Texas, not just the United States, all nations could see the hand of God, and they ought to be able to know that my house will be called of all nations a house of prayer. But ye have made it a den of thieves. Now look in the book of Luke in chapter 19. Again, he repeats that, and Luke records that. The Lord Jesus Christ, three times we have it mentioned. And in verse number 46 in this Bible, here's what he says in the book of Luke in chapter number 19. Now, verse 46, saying unto them, it is written, my house is the house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves. Now, in the lesson that you're looking at, for three times there, the Gospels that we're noticing that the same record is given. It's been recorded three times, no doubt for you and I. Well, you turn over there in the book of John, St. John chapter number 10. St. John chapter number 10, the Lord Jesus Christ there is talking about himself, talking about being the door, talking about being the shepherd, talking about being the entrance of heaven in this chapter. But in John chapter 10, verse 1, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not in by the door of the sheepfold, but climbeth up, looks some other way. You know what some other way is? When somebody says, bow your head and repeat this prayer, that's some other way. When somebody says that if you'll just say this or say that, if you'll do this or do that, that's some other way rather than the Lord Jesus Christ in the way of truth. And notice, if you will, please, he said the same as a thief and a robber. Next time you hear somebody trying to hurry up the work of God, you're listening. I don't care how sweet they are, how many degrees they've got. I don't care how good it may look and sound. Make no mistake about it. If they try to come another way and try to tell you something other than what the gospel's given you, they're a thief and they're a robber, the Bible said. I want to say to you what the world does. They promise a life to those that are not going to have it. It's a false promise, no doubt about it. And that's the reason why you better be careful about that bow your head, repeat this prayer kind of thing. I got to tell you, man has made the church of the living God a religious business. And make no mistake about it, they were buying and selling right there at the house of God. And when Jesus showed up, he was angered and he overthrew the money changers. He took a scourge of cords and whipped them out. You know, there was at least two cleansings of the temple that were given there. And I'll tell you something, is that it's not a place to buy and to sell and just to get gain. But let me tell you something, they were offering polluted sacrifices. In other words, they had sacrifices that were not without blemish, but sacrifices with blemishes. And they were going ahead and thought, I can't get nothing to sell for that. I know how I'm going to give it to God. And I know how he feels. I remember when churches used to give preachers a pounding. Then I really got a beating, and I know what it was. But a pounding, you know, they'd bring stuff. And I'm telling you right now, and by the way, I don't want a pounding. We don't need one. Look how long we've been here. We're here now that I've been blessed beyond measure. And let me just say, God bless you. May God recompense you. God knows my wife and I, my family, we thank you. But let me just say to you that, if you will, I can't tell you how many things that I used to get. Like, you know, if I'm going to get a can of soup, a can of beans or something like that right there, I like a major brand. I don't want it, whatever that is. What is that second can or second stuff they offer? All we had was Brooks or Brothers or something thereabout. But whatever it was, I don't want the soda pop. Listen, if you're going to bring me some soda pop, if you're not bringing me what you drink, don't buy a Coca-Cola for yourself and bring me some kind of Shasta. If you're drinking Shasta, God bless you, I'll drink it with you. I've had people literally brought me stuff that, preacher, here, we won't never eat this. I hope it'll be a blessing to you. Of course, that long gray hair that's just right up against the glass looking at you was something their grandma had done. I looked at it and I thought, I wonder if they floss their teeth with that whenever they get done. I didn't say nothing about it. I just said, God bless you. Thank you very much, so forth and on. But let me say to you that, if you will, that Israel got to where they was given unto God, things they didn't want, things that were marred, things that couldn't profit them. I'm going to tell you, God notices, says not just what we give, but what we have left over. God notices that. Remember the widow and the two mites? Remember that? That other bunch was given out of their abundance, but she came and put in all of her living. See that? God doesn't just notice how much you're giving, how you're giving it, but God notices how much you have left over compared to those that have given all. I want to say to you that when you begin to look into it, they're here the other night that I was preaching along there. You know what's wrong, don't you? We got too many preachers in the world and not enough preaching. Now, in the lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you that, if you will, I remember. Now you'll find that not only, listen, we got fathers, you know, that have been influenced, and that's good. God may want to call some of you young men. And when God comes knocking and God comes calling, then you respond to the Lord. But don't you let somebody... No, you know, you fathers say, man, if God called my son, I'd be so glad and blah and blah. But when they go to church camp don't care if God's in it or not, they'll go ahead and fix it. And that's the reason why you got so many sons and so many fathers that are running around at grandson, and they can't, neither one of them preach a lick, buddy. It's because they've been mama called and daddy sent and so forth and on. Now watch this here. Over in the book of Jeremiah, remember that God said, I didn't send these prophets, but they went. I didn't speak to them, but they spoke anyway. Remember that? Now watch this. I want to say to you that what they were doing is that because of the evil of their own doings. I can't tell you in all these years that I've been in the ministry how many daddies are excited. I've got a son. You've heard him teach. You've heard him preach. You've heard him fill in. I guarantee you right now, you can every now and again sense the breath on him. You think I'm going to tell him God's calling him? No, that's God's business. You realize that? That's what's wrong with the Baptist church. People get under conviction and somebody wants to hurry them up. Hurry them down the aisle. That's how man's made the church a den of thieves. You know, if you get somebody to make a profession that don't really get saved, now you got a lost church member. That's not going to like the word of the Lord when they get bigger. And then, buddy, they're going to rise up in rebellion against it. Now pay close attention. In this lesson that you're looking at, first thing, fellow, you're going to have is the call of God, young men. Watch this, pay close attention. I remember when God called me, there wasn't nobody around, nobody talking to me about it, nobody... All that being is I grew up in church, this and that, so forth. Nobody pushing me, nobody pressuring me, nobody doing anything. The Holy Ghost of God got a hold of my heart, showed me I was religious but lost without God, and I got saved. And then a week later, God was dealing with my heart, and I surrendered, let go, and let God surrender to preach the message of God. I said, honey, we're going to have to sell everything we got because I don't know where God's going to send us next. See what I'm talking about? We're not bogged down and we're not going to be bundled down with something. And so, I mean, we had already bought our first home to be able to live in and all of that business there. And, of course, she said, I'm ready. Whatever God wants us to do, let's do it. And I want to just tell you something. It's been quite a trip. And don't think for one minute I'm like the preacher. You know, he was talking about these televangelists. He said, they told me, they have to go get their mail and pick up their checks from their mailbox with a wheelbarrow. And he said, I bought me a wheelbarrow. And now it's got a flat. I ain't even got enough money to put air in it. You need not think it's going to happen real quick. It's not going to happen real quick. If you're in it for the monetary thing, you're missing the mark. I want you to watch and pay close attention. It wasn't long. I noticed some of these preachers, you know what you need to do, preacher? You need to get you a doctor's degree. And I said, well, I can't afford to go to college. I've got a suitcase college, and I can get you a degree. It wasn't long till everybody I knew up and down the road of life had a doctor's degree. I had one preacher, you know, asked me and wanted to argue with me, and I said, hey, you know what the Bible said about what you're arguing about? And that dude said, he said, well, no. Well, why don't you? You're a doctor, aren't you? You tell me you had a doctor's degree. You tell me you're the dumbest doctor on the face of this earth. In the Bible, here's the answer to your argument. I don't know if you've noticed it or not, but I've made a few people mad up and down the road, including so-called clergy. In the lesson that we're looking at, you'll find out that whenever somebody's called into the ministry, called, there ought to be, number one, some evidence. Number two is, you know, over in the book of 1 Timothy, don't turn there, but in chapter 5, verse 22, whatever he said, lay hands suddenly on no man, lest you be partaker of an evil deed. You got to be careful. They got a qualification they're meeting in the Bible. They got a touch of God they're meeting from the hand and the Spirit of God. Let me tell you something. You better be careful about putting your stamp of approval upon those that God does not. I want to say that, if you will, please, is that the reason we live in a world that's got so many preachers and no preaching them, no call, no conviction whatsoever, is because of the fact they're trying to run under their own steam. I remember, and by the way, and here's the deal. I've had people before that I could be under conviction, see them under conviction. I could see them under conviction very clearly, and I'd know in a few days that there's somebody, somewhere, they was going to answer the call of God. And I'm talking about for salvation. And I've seen preachers, you know, I was in their church, and I've seen preachers, you know, that if somebody got saved, well, that's fine. But wait till Sunday when I'm preaching before you come down the aisle. Like they wanted to get credit for it. I want to tell you something right now. If God is knocking on your heart and you're lost without God and God's wanting to save you, I don't give a rip who's standing in the pulpit. You better answer heaven's call. And not only for salvation service or any other thing. I want you to look in your Bible, if you will, please, in the book of Amos. And I'm going to give you a second to be able to find that. We don't use Amos a whole lot. But over in the book of Amos, I want you to look at it right there. Now, you'd know, I don't want to call names and I don't want to give any kind of bad hints, but I know sometimes, you know, one brother surrenders to preach, another brother wants to surrender, another brother wants to surrender. And I've seen that happen, and sometimes more than one of them could preach. But most of the time, there's going to be a dud in the bunch. You know what he was doing, don't you? Just trying to follow suit with everybody. Now watch this in Amos chapter number 7. The Bible said in verse number 14. Now there's a fellow in this chapter that's here by the name of Amaziah. He's a priest of Bethel. And he sends word to King Jeroboam that there's a man by the name of Amos that's sowing a conspiracy. Talk about a man laying your life on the line to preach the word of the Lord. But in chapter number 7 of the book of Amos, verse 14, then answered Amos and said unto Amaziah, I was no prophet, neither was I a prophet's son, but I was a herdman and a gatherer of sycamore fruit. The Lord took me, watch that, and the Lord took me as I followed the flock. Let me tell you something, young man. You want to answer the call of God? Just be faithful with the flock of God. Just be faithful to the word of the Lord. You want God to save you, young ladies and young men? Just be faithful to follow with the flock of God. And one of these days, God will reach out and take you. In this lesson you're looking at, here's what he says. And the Lord said unto me, go and prophesy unto my people Israel. Now therefore hear thou the word of the Lord. Thou sayest, prophesy not against Israel. He's telling that priest there. He's telling him that, priest of Bethel. He says, thou said not to go and prophesy against Israel, and drop not thy word against the house of Isaac. And therefore, thus said the Lord, thy wife shall be a harlot in the city, and thy sons and thy daughters shall fall by the sword, and the land shall be divided by line, and thou shalt die in a polluted land. And Israel shall surely go into captivity forth of this land. Not a welcome, not a positive message, but a pure message, a powerful message that came from God. I want to say to you, when you begin to look into this Bible lesson back over in our text that we started out with, he said, and it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer. And he said, but ye have made it a den of thieves. You know the reason why so many people are lost, undone without God? They just don't believe that he is the Lord and Savior of not only the world, but of all that's coming into the world. He's the only way, the only truth, and the only life. You know, as a young man, I'd walk down the aisle and made a profession. I can't remember who was preaching and this and that and so forth and on, but I can remember whenever I was but a lad, I knew how to be able to quote Romans 10, 9 through 13 as well then, probably better then than I do now. I knew what it was like to be able to go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. I knew what it was like. I knew all about it, knew the story, so forth and on. And I'd walk down the aisle, shook a preacher's hand. And, of course, you know, naturally, they're always glad to see you come down and say, listen, I want to be saved. And so I made a profession, got in the baptistry, this and that. And I don't know, I must have been 9 or 10, 10, 11 years old. But at the age of 24, the Holy Ghost of God began to knock on my heart's door and open my eyes of understanding. Something's radically wrong with you, Dennis. You know, here the other day, whenever I was laying in a tent and was having a stroke, I was thinking, Lord, you're going to have to help me now. If I'm going to get through this, you're going to have to help me. And I kept saying, Lord, if you're not going to help me, and I kept thinking, boy, I sure don't want to leave my wife behind and all that. You're going to have to take care of my wife and these, and all of my family and church people and all that. And so, Lord, please help me. And it wasn't long until he did, and he has. Now, I'm going to tell you something, dear friend. When the Holy Ghost of God gets on your heart, you're going to need help that this outside world can't help you with. You'll be thinking in the house of God, it ain't my sister, it ain't my brother, it's me, oh God, that's standing in the need of prayer. And let me tell you right now is, they showed up to help me just right on time. Our God's always right on time. Now, I didn't have a whole lot to lose. I sure didn't want to hunt the first day. I already heard the feeder go off, and I'm thinking, oh, well, at least the feeder worked. I just wanted to say to you that, if you will, that it's always good to be able to know when God comes knocking on your heart's door, he knows exactly who you are and what you need. And the question is, will you receive him? Are rejecting? Will you receive him or put it off till another time? Will you get serious between you and God, or go ahead and just keep trying to drag that load yourself? That's the question. I want to say, Jesus said, my house will be called a house of prayer. You need praying? There's a good place to get it right here. Let me tell you what goes along with prayer. Preaching. In other words, you've got a bunch of thieves in here instead of preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. People that are wanting to take advantage of you and promise you something they can't give. But let me tell you, I can promise you something that I can give that'll be lasting for all eternity. I wonder, young man, are you saved? Young lady, are you really saved? And if you're really not, what exactly are you waiting on? What are you waiting on? If you picked up the newspaper this morning, I do not get a newspaper. I don't get one. But if you did, there's an obituary column, which means people that have died and gone out to meet their maker. Some of them are old. Some of them are middle-aged. Some of them are young. Some of them are just infants. I want to tell you, life is short. Death is sure. What have you done with the Lord Jesus Christ? When he came knocking, what are you doing with him? Let's stand to our feet, our heads are bowed. Our Father, as our musicians come, our song director's coming, I pray that, Lord, somehow or another you'd move upon us and within us. Is there a man, a woman, a boy, a girl, say, preacher, my life has been a mess, and I'm ready to get God to straighten it out. I've not been able to do nothing, but God can, and I'm ready for him. May they come this morning. Whatever the need is. Lord, I praise and thank you now for the goodness of God that's led us and brought us to a place of repentance. Is there a man, a woman, a boy, a girl that you're pounding on their heart's door? Thou knowest every need we have, and only you can meet that need. In Jesus' name we pray that you'll do so. Amen and amen. What number is it?